I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey everyone, before we get into today's pod, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Hey, welcome to episode 51 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We got Ty, Luke, Martin, and Eric here. Another late night one, so Luke's gonna kick us off when he's ready for bed. But we're gonna talk about this week, the Montreal news. They fired Claude Julien, and then we can also talk. I think we're gonna talk a little bit about Buffalo because there's been some Jack Eichel news come out there over the past week that I kind of want to touch on. And let's take it away with Claude Julien got fired today along with Kirk Muller. And it's just crazy to see how Montreal has gone from, you know, a month
juggernaut.
after they beat Vancouver five times in a row to just firing their coach today.
Was this predictable for Eric? Who knows? I don't really read his stories, but it seems like he was saying on the Instagram today that he's been saying this for months now, that the team is not
Wait, you don't read our stories?
Okay, what? I read half of them.
What?
I read the ones where you don't sound super arrogant. So, like,
none of them?
Yeah.
So, absolutely none of them?
Yeah, the talking hockey stories, I just tap right through.
Give us some story views, you know? Actually, we hit our highest amount of story views ever. Like a couple days ago, like 6,500 or something like that. That was insane.
Congratulations, Eric.
Yeah.
You want a medal?
I do want a medal. Yeah.
So,
but yeah.
What went wrong with Montreal? Because, okay, here's what I'll say. For years now, since Claude Julien has been there, they've been a team, and even this year as well, that's dominated 5-on-5. Their 5-on-5 numbers are great in the offensive zone. They have the puck a lot. They generate a lot of great scoring chances, and the stats will show it. But they just kind of don't score, if that makes sense.
And what went wrong was they constructed a roster that's full of guys that don't know how to shoot the puck. A bunch of guys that aren't, not that don't know how to shoot the puck, but aren't that great at it. A bunch of guys that are great at generating scoring chances, but don't have a lot of elite skill. You know, and maybe that's why they went out and got Drouin, even though, you know, hasn't really lived up to that type of hype. But then...
Do you think
the majority reason, right?
Do you think Julien was misusing players? Like, I feel like he, Brendan Gallagher, a player that like seems like a guy that's generating offense. Maybe he's not scoring a whole bunch, but maybe that's because he's not playing a whole bunch. Like, he's averaging like 16 minutes a game.
Yeah, 16-17 minutes.
And he seems like a type of guy that could average more game. Like, he has the energy to average more game, and Julian mm-hmm. just wasn't doing that for him. So, like,
yeah.
Is Julian a part of the problem?
I'm always skeptical on, like, what the minutes a lot of guys produce, because there's always that talk of, like, oh, this player, he can't play. If you put him, he doesn't have the same impact if you put him at 19 minutes a game versus 17 minutes.
I think Brendan Gallagher has the energy to.
I mean, I do
what
too.
What he does at 19 minutes.
I have Montreal fans messaging me all the time saying, "Oh no, this guy said this and this," and I don't know how much stock to put in that. I think we have very little insight into what Montreal thinks, and I also think that a lot of teams have very little data on if a player can actually play at 18, 19 minutes a night. I think I'm very skeptical on a lot of teams' ability to judge that. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, in an interview that we have coming out next week, we talked about, right? It's the accuracy of the data, and I'm not, you know, 100% sure NHL teams are doing that correctly. And I'm not sure, like, how they even go about testing it properly. Like, have they even thought about, you know, have they tried it? Then how do you know, right? That might be part of it. But I think Claude Julien's misusage was more along the lines of, like, him putting out certain players 3-on-3 to start, and like putting, like, I think he put Deneau and Sherrod
and yeah, it was to start off a 3-on-3 and they lost.
Yeah. And like, okay. Yeah. But to be fair to Claude Julien, who does he put out there that all of a sudden you're super confident that they're going to win 3-on-3, right? Like, this is what I mentioned in my story. Like, who on Montreal are you looking at and going, that's an elite guy that's gonna
that's the guy who's gonna score the goal. That's the guy who I want to throw out there.
You look at 90% of the teams in the league, 95% of the teams in the league, they have two or three guys at least, right? Like, even look at the bad teams in the NHL right now. Like, you throw out LA, at least you have Kopitar out there. You have, you know, like, or you look at Ottawa Senators, they can put out some dynamic guys at least, right?
Like Shabbat
Shabbat on D, exactly, like you said. Even like Stützle, he isn't a great player yet, but 3-on-3, he's fast, he's tricky.
He's going to look good.
That's when he can look good.
He has a lot of space, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's guys like that. But Montreal doesn't really have those guys. Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, in Ottawa, you know, they're probably not the greatest 3-on-3 team. But even they have Shabbat back there.
Montreal's biggest problem, they don't have skill. Like, they don't have much.
They don't exactly
really skilled guys.
I would say their best.
I think that's Bergevin's fault. Like, Bergevin hasn't liked skill his entire career. Like, he wasn't a hugely skilled guy.
And the other issue is defensively too. Like, look at the guys he brings out on defense. Like, other than Petry,
he hates skill on defense. Yeah. he absolutely
is, like,
hates
absent
skill.
Of skill, right? And then but the problem is Claude Julien didn't exactly like skill too much either. It seemed like with guys like Mete, and he was more. But you know what? He did well with what he had. You know what I mean?
For like, sure.
I think that Petry is a great solid defenseman, and Weber has actually been good. Like, you can
Weber
argue
isn't
that.
Weber's a skill guy, right?
Like, no, Weber's not
but he's a good – Weber's guy. A good defenseman. So there's another issue on Montreal, right? And what was the guy's name? Mika on Twitter. What's his account? Where he has those charts, right?
Oh, Mika.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Mika. Yeah, exactly. So Adam, resident Habs fan, and I were discussing it today. He said that he's been hoping that Claude Julien was fired for the past year almost, right? Because, or for the past 2 years, because Montreal 5-on-5 again dominates the game, but their power play and penalty kill are god awful. Their power play, especially their power play for the past 3 years, when this has been outdated for like the past decade, is get the puck to Weber or Petry to one time it from the point. And it gets blocked, or it's an easy save for the goalie. Even though Weber has one of the hardest shots in the league, it's an easy save for the goalie. Because it's from 60 feet away, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And that was their whole power play. And that's what they've struggled. They were like 28th for power play and 27th or 26th for penalty kill. And they have done no adjustments.
So,
yeah.
So they were 25th in power play. Sorry, they were 20 and 22 for power play and PK this season, 22 and 19 last season, 30th in 2018, 2019. So they've been lower middle to end.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, but isn't it, so yes, the blame on the special team should rely on Julian because he's the head coach, but isn't it the assistant coach who typically...
He got fired too. Kirk Muller. He got fired.
So normally one runs the power play and one runs the PK, no? Like, isn't that... Or is it really just depends on which team and how they orchestrate it?
It depends on the team orchestrating.
Because it feels more like they got fired because Kirk Muller was bad at his job.
But the other issue is, like, they were bad on the PP, the power play, not because they... of bad coaching necessarily. It's because of the personnel. Like, who do you have other than Weber who's going to shoot the puck on?
You need skill on the power play too.
You need skill. Exactly. Yeah. You
don't
need,
and, but they do have.
Has no skill.
They do have that. I say they do. I say Drouin, as flawed a player as Drouin is and has been in his career, I think on the power play, that's where he's most skill valuable. Yes. And he can.
But Drouin isn't Kane. You know what I mean? Like, if he was Kane, but only on the power play, that would make sense. But he's not.
I think that Drouin can get the puck to Josh Anderson or Tyler Toffoli, who can score the puck.
At the same time, does Claude Julien, like, think about Claude Julien's past. So he was in Boston, and he coached Boston when they had guys like Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron, and maybe a Krejci. Year or two of Pasternak. I'm not.
They have Krejci in his prime of his career.
He had Pasternak too, I think, for a year or two.
So Julian might be killing skill, like he might be trying to make you turn away from skill. So maybe it is Julian's fault little bit.
But that's how Pasternak. Pasternak was good the first 2 years he came into the league.
This is also
think about how much better that line's been since.
Yeah, but Pasternak also developed in that time. Yes. Marchand broke out.
Fair enough.
Late breakout, which could be attributed to Julian, too.
Fair enough.
I think Marchand's first 40-goal season was after Julian left. I might be wrong on that.
But can anyone explain to me, is it Claude Julien's fault that his centers suck? Like, Nick Suzuki had a great start to his season, not going to lie, right? But since
dynamite, yeah.
After they played their games against Vancouver, the whole team has been trash. I think Deneau still has 0 goals this year, right? When your top two centers are Suzuki and Deneau and Kotkaniemi, and I think they have like 4 goals between them all, dude.
That's not 5 so good.
Yeah, Deneau has none. Let's fact check that. Deneau has 0. Okay. I know for sure. So who could have also predicted the fall off of Philippe Deneau, man? From last year being a top shutdown center in the league to this year,
and I think it partly has to do with the offseason he had, not getting the contract disputes. It's probably in his head a little bit, right? I think. So I think that's playing a role for sure.
Like, I wouldn't say that Deneau's an elite goal scorer because he had 13 goals last year, but. Yeah. He was a lot better.
He was a great even strength producer.
Right.
Like he was top 40 in the league or something like that for just even strength points. Power play, he's brutal because he doesn't have skill. Again, right? Like he doesn't have the skills that help you succeed on the power play. Great shot, great vision, great passer.
Their centers have Suzuki has 4 goals. Drouin has 2. I don't even know if they're playing Drouin.
Drouin's not a center.
Drouin's on Nick Suzuki's wing.
Okay, Kotkaniemi has 2 goals. Arturi Lehkonen has 2 goals. And
he's also not their center.
No.
It's Deneau. Their top 3 centers are Deneau, Kotkaniemi, and Suzuki, and they have 6 goals between them.
Deneau has 0.
And Deneau has 0, yeah. Suzuki has 4, Kotkaniemi has 2, and Kotkaniemi just scored his second of his season on Saturday night.
Yeah,
it's concerning there, man.
Goals, it's how they go about. It's because the individual lines are good, right? You have a Drouin, Suzuki, Anderson line, very good, very solid line. You have the Tatar, Deneau, Gallagher line, again, very solid, very good. Then you have the Toffoli. Toffoli, God,
Kotkaniemi.
Kotkaniemi and
Lekkonen.
And
Armia.
Or Armia. It's Armia. So you have those three top lines. None of those are top lines, really. Like, not really. Especially when you know Gallagher and Tatar. If they're performing at their best, that's a top line. Like, last season, that's a top line. But after those guys, like, none of those lines are elite, and none of them have really elite players. And then again, Montreal continues to dominate at even strength because they can roll four lines. They have a deep, deep team. But the defense is rough. No puck-moving guys. Again, not much elites or puck-moving talent there, which creates issues. And which causes them to have to attack a lot off the rush versus cycle play, because none of the defensemen can really make plays and skate very well. And they have to move out of their zone very quickly when the other team gets the puck instead of pinning.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Pinching, because they can't pinch because the defensemen don't have the skating ability to get back or recover from the play. So that's part of the issue. And then they don't hem guys to their own zone. So guys never get tired. They're never, missing a bunch of plays and stuff like that. That causes another issue. They're a rush team. They literally spend the least amount of time in the offensive zone out of almost any team in the NHL. Like, that's insane, right? Like, that's not it's not necessarily a bad thing inherently, but it's not good either. So that's part of the issue. And the PK is all coaching, right? I think we all agree there. Like, you can fit almost any guy into the PK, and as long as you're a good coach.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
To be able to make it work somewhat.
I think that PK, the thing that special teams, also the power play are on the coach, right? And I'd say the power play especially, because you really don't need elite guys to be able to generate and have a good strategy of what to do, right? Because, for example, the Leafs in their tank here, they still generated, especially on the power play, they had good strategies in place. They just had a bunch of guys who couldn't score, right? So even what I'm saying is that when you look at how Montreal runs it, though, and the offense they do generate on the power play, it's point shots from Weber, one-timers from Weber, right?
It is partly the system. For sure,
that's the system, right. So, and another thing that didn't help Claude Julien is Carey Price. And we want to keep talking about and hear on broadcast every single night if Carey Price is the best goalie in the league, but he's not stopping the puck.
He looks like he's going to stop the puck, though. You have to remember that. Looks like he's going to stop the puck. So he is the best goalie.
That's what matters. That's what matters more.
That is what matters. But – yeah, you are right, but I would also point out that, yes, even the Leafs in their worst year, Morgan Rielly, Kadri, James Van Riemsdyk, those are guys that have always been elite on the power play.
I don't even think Morgan Rielly played. I think that was the year they were trying to develop Morgan Rielly defensively, so I don't think that he played on the power play.
Was that the Nikita Zaitsev year, or was that
No. That was the year after.
I think he was on the power. Okay. But regardless, Kadri, James Van Riemsdyk, both very good power play players. Even Bozak, give him credit where credit's due. He wasn't the greatest 5-on-5 guy, but he's always been good on the power play.
We talk about in the interview that will be coming out next week is players willing to go get the puck. And Tyler Bozak is the type of guy that goes and gets the puck. Right.
It was always funny when there was that year, I guess it was the second year of, or the first year of Austin Matthews. And everybody's like, why is Austin Matthews not on power play one? Well, it's because Bozak was better, man. Bozak was better, right?
Well, that unit was really good.
Yeah.
You gotta learn to go get the puck. Like, that's a big thing.
It's like timing learning. Too, right? Like knowing when to go for the
when
puck.
To get the puck, yeah.
Patient, like you said, yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, it's there's multiple issues in Montreal, but one of them, I'm not sure, biggest thing. Well, hockey sense 5-on-5, obviously very different than hockey sense on the power play too, right? Million different types of hockey sense, all impacting different things, and just like I think people, you know, maybe I didn't present myself well when I was talking about the issue. I wasn't saying, like, I tried to say Julian isn't perfect. He has so many issues, but 90% of the game is 5-on-5, right? And if you can supplement him as the GM with, okay, this assistant coach is going to help with the PK, this assistant coach is going to help with the power play, whatever the situation is, there should be a road there for Julian to work in Montreal.
As much as I'm blaming Julian, like, I think Bergevin should have been fired like 2 years ago.
I think his
time was done.
He's had 2 years, two different cores. Like, how many more excuses are Montreal?
This is kind of ridiculous at this point. It's never made sense to me how Montreal for the past 3 years basically have been a team that's consistently had put great 5-on-5 numbers, like statistics, and the offense that they do generate is right in the slot, right? Mm-hmm. And they control play, but they just can't score. How has this happened for the past 3 years, basically, man? You look at those rosters.
He doesn't like skill. Like it seems like he doesn't like skill.
He didn't like Domi. He traded him out for. And I'm not saying but Josh Anderson's been bad.
Domi was not the answer either because it was still an issue.
But he's still skill. Yes. You know what I mean? Like he's still
skill in comparison to what they have, right? Like he's compared to
almost every player on that team, he's more skill.
Yes.
But right? I'd still say Josh Anderson's an upgrade on Max Domi.
Domi's more raw skill.
But again, the issue isn't individual moves with Bergevin. You look at like 98% of his moves, they aren't bad in isolation. Like bringing in.
He's just looking at the wrong things in hockey.
Bringing in Josh Anderson, bringing in Tyler Toffoli. Every individual move isn't the issue with Mark Bergevin. It's the overall picture of how the team works.
He's part of the reason that the old boys club in hockey doesn't work. He is the old boys club. He thinks this one way and he thinks it will work and he's determined to make it work.
You know who he reminds me of is Mike Babcock. Refuses to listen to anyone else.
Surprised he didn't hire Mike Babcock.
Probably because he can't speak French. Such stubbornness.
The only reason he didn't hire Babcock is probably because he doesn't speak
PR and French. But like, Babcock refused to put Marner and Matthews together for what, 3 years or whatever it was, right? Like, just super stubborn. Just no, this has to be my way. This is how it's done. And I'm not saying Mark Bergevin is that level because there are stuff that he has done, like is adjusting his draft strategy, drafted Cole Caulfield instead of you know, whoever big guy that what it might have been available at that spot. He's adjusted all on the edges, but there's some like very
key edges aren't helping the Canadians
right?
Now.
And especially now, right? Like Caulfield isn't going to be ready this year. Maybe he's ready next year.
The Canadians with fucking Price's contract are win now, and they have been win now since they signed
and
Price.
That's the other issue too, right? He locked them into a win now mode and then rebuilt. On top of that, hasn't really done a great job of getting, you know, he lucked into that third overall pick with, but then drafted Kotkaniemi instead of like Brady Kachuk.
How different would this team look if they drafted Kachuk or Quinn Hughes instead of Kotkaniemi?
To be fair, if they drafted Brady Kachuk, they just have another like Brandon Gallagher-esque guy who can't.
That's true. Because again, Brady Kachuk is a guy. Brady Kachuk actually generates like the best scoring chances in the league, but he doesn't score.
Exactly.
But think about those two together. I don't know. Those two together might be an interesting mix.
So what I want to say, because we've been talking about this for 20 minutes and Luke is disinterested already and wants to go to bed. So I'll quickly just say this. It's funny to see the downfall of how quickly things have gone from the off season, the Montreal Canadiens, were Stanley Cup, almost like it seemed like they were Stanley Cup favorites, man. Beginning of the year, Stanley Cup favorites, to now losing to Ottawa.
Who thought that? Like, honestly, who
thought that? Everyone.
Everyone. Everybody. The discourse going in.
Okay.
Oh my lord! It was
not to reference. Was, not to reference our next.
I respect. It was like Mike Kelly. Mike, even Mike Kelly was like, I think we have to say like Montreal is the best team in the league right now. And okay. I was just like, come on, buddy. Like
they even played. They played Vancouver four times, man.
Okay. Okay.
And all of a sudden they were the best.
Fair enough. If Carey Price was better, does Julian get fired? Question. No.
Probably not.
Probably not. So is this all on Carey Price? Maybe.
Well, I think that Carey Price
fired apparently.
So did you watch the game yesterday against Montreal for Ottawa?
No. Okay. But I wanted to continue that. Is that fair on Carey Price? Like,
I think that Carey Price to look at
is not fair.
You can't blame him.
He got paid $10 million for that to be fair.
Yeah, but it's not his problem. That's the GM's problem.
Yes.
Who cares? You're the player. Take whatever money you get. No, but I'm saying the people that are listening, and you know what? Most Montreal fans aren't going to listen to this episode. They're going to drop out like 4 minutes in because they're going to be pissed at what we're saying. But it's the hard truths because we're on the outside looking at this going, what the hell are you doing? And, you know, like you go look at our story statistics from like replies and shares and stuff. Every single story, like 60 responses from like Montreal fans on every single one going, no, no, no. And they're dying on their hill for the wrong players too. Like there's so many guys dying on the hill of Joel Edmondson was a good signing for the Montreal Canadiens. Like it's unbelievable.
That was an awful Mark Bergevin sign. That's an old boys club. That's a classic Mark Bergevin sign.
Freaking Joel Edmondson, same exact, literally their stats mirror each other so closely.
Yes.
Except Montreal is a lot better than they were at the time when he was signed, especially their some of the defensemen that they have. So he looks a lot better, right? You put him beside Petrie, at least he looks, you know, like a really good defenseman. He can carry the load for that pair. But like there's so many of their fans dying on that hill. I admit, like, I was wrong. Jake Allen's been awesome for them. Great job. Mm-hmm. But you're still paying whatever $15 million for goaltending right now.
Jake Allen's outperformed Carey Price, right?
He better be good for them. Someone needs to be good for them if they're paying $50 million for goaltending right now.
Ty already mentioned this. I think we need to move on quickly. And quickly, I want to just bring up one thing that I've noticed a little bit from Sens fans or from people talking about the Sens, and I'm going to talk about this for like 2 minutes, a minute and a half.
5 minutes in Martin time.
If you thought the Sens were going to be something this year, I don't know what you were thinking, but they're not. The Sens have a lot of interesting players, and the interesting players are doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're being interesting when they are interesting.
Yeah.
They're fun. But they're fun.
They're like Leafs first year build.
Yes. That's except exactly where they are, because the Sens went into a full rebuild, right? Like they didn't keep a single fucking person. They didn't even keep someone like Pageau. They traded Pageau for a great trade because Pageau got signed for like $5 million, which is not what the Sens needed. So the Sens are exactly where they need to be. They're beating good teams when they need to beat good teams, and it's fun to watch them. They are a fun team to watch. They suck at some points and therefore again dominate it, but they came out and beat Toronto in the first game. I'm not saying they'll beat Toronto any of the other times they play them, but they beat Montreal a decent amount. They're winning 3-4 in the Montreal series.
Mm-hmm.
They're a fun team to watch, and then exactly where Ottawa needs to be to bring in fans. Not that they can bring in fans this year. But they're where they need to be. And people, I think, overestimate the Sens because of that Matt Murray signing. And
never forget when they signed Matt Murray. It's like, this is a message to the Leafs. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Yeah, okay.
not saying that Dorian's doing a good job, but he, I think Dorian realizes exactly where they are. I think Melnick realizes where they are. Not saying I like Melnick at all.
That's important, what you just said.
Yes,
you just said they know where they are. They understand it.
They understand that, which was what led to their downfall in the first place. They didn't realize where the fuck they were in the first place. They came a shot away, a penalty away from making the Stanley Cup Finals that one year. And they went balls deep,
I'll never forget watching that game 7 against Pittsburgh right before.
Yeah,
right before they score. Right before Pittsburgh,
they had no
scored.
Business being in that game 7.
Listen,
in the first
right place. Before Pittsburgh scored, I remember there was a play. It was Connor Sheary at the point trying to do a pass across the ice to the guy standing on the other side. Right, he was standing at the right point. He was trying to pass the puck over to the left side, and there was a Sens player there who almost intercepted the pass and would have been a breakaway because there was no one there. Right, this was like literally 30 seconds before, but he just misses it. I think it was Victor Stahlberg. Okay, he just misses it, and the puck goes and leads to the Penguins scoring 20 seconds later.
Yeah,
it was Victor Stahlberg.
Imagine history if the Senators make the Stanley Cup final. Against, was it San Jose or Nashville that
was? It was
that
San Jose.
San Jose, yeah.
Yeah.
Just imagine San Jose versus the Ottawa Senators Stanley Cup final, and they still don't sell out the freaking arena.
You have to question whether they would have sold out at that point. Like, I don't know. Stanley Cup final is a lot different than Stanley Cup semifinal.
Man, that was the conference different. Finals, man. Conference man, finals.
I don't know. I don't
That's
know.
Embarrassing.
Like Toronto people would have came. Like
especially I would have went. I wanted to.
Exactly. They represented Canada at that point in the Stanley Cup
final.
They
were already representing Canada in the conference final.
Nah, but like fuck that. Like who cares? Like no one had faith that they would beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
like,
that's only that's the only reason I didn't even go. I didn't even think they'd win. I was like, I'm not.
No. And they shouldn't have won. And they didn't, which is good because that's the year they had the whole hamburger problem. Like that's the reason they made the playoffs and then they went on this run. And it's like, okay, you had all these lucky occurrences, which is goes to the luck of hockey, which Eric likes to talk about all the time. Yes, I've passed.
Let's be real. our Ottawa fan base is probably smaller than our Arizona Coyotes fan base. So let's
move on to Buffalo because
So speaking of rebuilds, speaking of big rebuilds, well, maybe we can tie
we'll
in a
make,
bunch of teams.
We'll
here.
Give this 15 minutes, okay, Ty? 15 minutes. Okay, we got to 11:15.
Okay, buddy.
Luke's computer needed to be off like 4 hours ago.
Yeah, I know.
Correct.
So maybe we can bring in other teams on this because I think I had a good I had a good debate at least with myself about this, and it was talking about Buffalo.
For everyone that doesn't know, Ty has conversations with himself in the chat all the time.
Yeah,
like literally 10 messages back and forth himself.
So last week to recap, last week there was some news because Buffalo has struggled since they came back from their little COVID outbreak. Right, they haven't been a very good team. They haven't been winning, and there's rumors of the Jack Eichel.
Hey, is that because Ristolainen literally hasn't come back yet? Because had such a bad COVID.
I know. Ristolainen said he felt like he was about to die. Just saying.
He hasn't come back yet.
He said he was feared he wouldn't wake up.
Yeah,
that's exactly. How bad it was.
Yes.
He literally was like, when I went to sleep, I didn't know if I would.
For anybody that doesn't believe that COVID is a real and present danger.
And this is
Ristolainen.
Ristolainen's like, he might not be the greatest, you know, NHL player,
dude,
but he's super fit.
He's a tough fucking dude.
Super fit.
He's a professional athlete mid-20s athlete, dude. So regardless.
The prime of his life.
Regardless, what I wanted to discuss is where Buffalo has gone wrong because Jack Eichel's been there now since 2015. So we're looking in season six, right, of his Buffalo Sabres career. And have the Buffalo Sabres gotten any better in his time there, year over year?
Not really, barely.
So like you could say his first year Buffalo's still rebuilding. So to go back even further, 2014-2015 season, the Buffalo Sabres were quite literally the worst team in NHL history, right?
Yep.
They were
and
without
they tried
a doubt
to
And they tried to be. They were actively, because this was the time when the draft lottery was,
if you were the worst team,
if you were the worst team in the league, you could only get number two. You weren't going any lower than two, right? And they wanted McDavid. And they didn't get McDavid. They got Eichel.
Do you think anything changes if they got McDavid?
Nope.
Do you think they're in a different situation right now? McDavid's obviously, especially the first couple of years, McDavid's a lot better than Eichel was.
Nope.
So it's gotten closer.
Nothing's different.
But
except
they tore,
McDavid might have requested a change of scenery sooner.
they tore it down, though. They had nothing, right? They literally had nothing on that team.
Yep.
So they get Eichel, their star center, who, you know, even if you want to debate it, he's a top 10 center in the league. Right?
He is, but yeah, continue.
There is no debate.
Okay. Some people might try to debate it, but he's a top 10 center in the league. And you have that guy, and they just can't seem to build that team around him. They're now how many coaches and how many GMs into Jack Eichel's career? Four coaches,
third,
maybe?
Or third
Four
GM,
coaches?
Fourth coach.
Third GM, yeah.
No, third GM, fourth coach, I want to say. But yeah.
I think that's ownership. I think that's 100% ownership. Like, they're not letting GMs do what they want to do.
But man, how long can you say it's ownership when there's been so many GMs that have gone in and, like...
Buffalo
Was Botterill doing anything wrong?
Yes.
What?
I mean, he didn't draft well. He didn't draft well. Filling in the bottom of an NHL roster is the easiest job in hockey. You can get the elite guys because you luck into it because it's a draft system and you just, you know, you fail into good players. The test of a GM is what can you do with your bottom pairing.
I do think he got kind of fucked by Casey Mittelstadt. Like, Casey Mittelstadt hasn't been good.
Yeah, he did.
And did look good.
But they also missed out on Draisaitl because they drafted. And Reinhardt's a very good player, but he's not Draisaitl, right?
Obviously.
So they missed out on that. And then the depth picks that they keep making, other than like Olofsson, who they drafted in like the fifth or sixth or seventh round, whatever the hell it was. Like, other than him,
but how much of that is the ownership not paying for good scouts?
Maybe it may, but you can't. I think it's hard to also say. To give the excuse to the ownership over, you know, a cheap scouting department when you have Ottawa over there hitting on
100%, especially when you think that the Buffalo ownership also owns the Buffalo Sabres.
There you go.
Not the Bills. Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills are killing it. Like,
yeah,
they sorted shit out and actually did something. It's hard to
and you can blame ownership for a lot of incompetencies, but with roster construction specifically, that's the GM's job.
But they've tried, man. They have tried. They got, you forget, they also had Ryan O'Reilly, man. They had two top centers, Eichel and O'Reilly.
They had him.
O'Reilly didn't want to play there. Like, that's a whole
O'Reilly
other
didn't
thing.
Want to play there. And then because they sucked, he said, I don't want to play there.
He didn't even say he didn't want to play there. He said he lost the love of hockey.
Yes.
They made him lose the love of hockey.
Because they kept losing, because they sucked.
Why is that?
After two years of playing there, they sucked.
Part of them sucking is his fault, like not wanting to play well.
O'Reilly was still a very good player in Buffalo, man. Like, I feel like we don't give him enough credit because he didn't change that much from Buffalo to St. Louis. It's just what was around him changed. You know what I mean? Like, carrying around the carcass of Kyle Okposo or whoever the hell was on his wing.
They had some bad signings.
You move from Okposo to Tarasenko.
Of course you're going to, you know, look better, right? It was the next year. Literally the next year won the
Stanley Cup,
but the award for best player in the playoffs. Conn Smythe. Yeah. So the next year, right? It wasn't like he had time to develop in he instantly hit it off.
They missed out.
Like,
they
it
have
has
missed out.
A deep problem. It has to be. It has to be that, like every single scout, every single, but like, even if you got rid of it, like, I don't understand because they've had so much change.
Other people have, to, like, other hockey people have talked about this, like, how much the attitude of the room matters. And yeah. I was reading Doug Gilmore's biography, autobiography. It's not technically an autobiography because he didn't write it, whatever that's called. And how much the attitude of a room matters to the winning processes of a team.
So do you think it's the roster with not having enough, you know, character guys, so to speak?
No. I wouldn't say character guys. I think it's...
How do you change the culture, right? It has to start from somewhere.
How do you...
But like, they brought in Botterill, who came from Nashville, and they've been doing well. You know what I mean? Like...
No.
From Pittsburgh, didn't he? Botterill came from Pittsburgh, who? I think. Jason Botterill?
Yeah, did he come from Pittsburgh?
Or but how much does that guy matter on the team? Like, I think it's in the room problems. Yeah. Right? But and I think that's an Edmonton issue. And who was it? The captain of Edmonton that one year, Jason Ferens, who won the cup in Boston, who then got traded to or signed with Edmonton.
Andrew Ferens.
And he came out after he was retired and said Edmonton just had the wrong type of mindset in their room, like Taylor Hall.
But Buffalo had so much turnover in that room. You know what I
mean?
They've
had tons of it, man. This team
doesn't. Fair enough. But, like, how much does that mindset matter?
Like, how much? It does matter. We've all been on sports teams where, like.
Like, think about Chicago right now. Like, Patrick Kane is literally just, like, pulling that team up. Like, they're in a playoff position, aren't they? Or like a couple
they're
points
right
out.
There. Yeah.
They're right there. And they suck. Like, Chicago sucks this year.
They do suck.
And they don't even have Jonathan Taves. Like, how much does Patrick Kane affect that team? Like,
well, that team has it, right? They have it already.
Duncan Keith.
And maybe this is, you pointed it out. What has Buffalo done to bring in that kind of stuff?
What has
Buffalo exactly, right? Like, the rebuilding teams, Edmonton, who did they bring in to address that? Did they address that?
Andrew Ferris.
I can't even say that Edmonton's done a good rebuild, right?
I mean, they haven't yet.
They have McDavid and Draisaitl, and that's basically it.
And that's the team.
And until McDavid Draisaitl tastes like what it's like to actually be there and how much they want it, maybe they're not the best impactful players on that type of situation. No?
Yeah. I think that.
And
I
to be fair to Edmonton, they did bring in Lucic on a stupid contract who has been there. I don't know how much he actually affects that type of thing.
Yeah, how much an impact can you have on the locker room if you're complete trash while making?
I want to say, like, the Leafs, for example, this year, the Leafs brought in Wayne Simmons and Joe Thornton, who haven't won.
They brought in Muzzin before that.
And I'm not even saying that Thornton and Simmons are winners. They haven't won shit, right?
But they haven't won, but they give a fuck about winning.
That's what I mean. Like, that's what I mean.
Obviously, Thornton wants the fucking win. Because
and you can tell
knock against him.
You can tell that they love Thornton and they love Simmons on the team.
Yep.
They brought him in and this team just looks totally different. And when Matthews and Marner and Thornton are on the ice together, like, they just look like they love playing with each other.
Yeah, I think you need to have a locker room that works. Like, the chemistry, like, I think we're revolving around this, but it's just chemistry, right? Like,
yeah.
To have guys that, and I don't have a ton of insight into if Buffalo likes each other as human beings. I assume they
losing makes it really hard to like people.
And I agree with Luke. I was about to say that too. Like, what Luke said is completely right. Like winning it's hard. It's hard.
Hasn't talked in like 30 minutes, but yeah.
Comes in to say that one red umbrella.
I've been listening. Winning is the
ultimate healer. Relationship maker.
Yeah. It's the biggest healer.
Nothing is worse than losing.
Losing morale is important to understand how to overcome conflicts. But yeah, like I think they enjoyed playing with Marlo too. It was just Marlo was way too expensive for what he was worth.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton was good. I remember when Wayne Simmons was first signed, Ty was very critical of it. And I'm just like,
No. Eric was. Oh, I was actually, I'm good with it.
No, you didn't like the 1.5.
I said I was good with it.
I didn't like the 1.5. I liked the Simmons. I didn't like the 1.5.
Then I said at the beginning of the season, Simmons actually sucked. Like Simmons, when Simmons was on the power play at first.
Hey, let's not make this a Leafs thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It was three games of into the experiment when Ty said he sucked. But I was going to say, like, Weber commented yesterday on Monday, I saw on TSN that he said there was a lot of negativity in the room. And mm-hmm. the John Liu said that he thinks that that might have been like the writing on the wall for Mark Bergevin to do something. So I do think that character does matter. And I know that in the past, some people on this podcast have downplayed character players.
I just don't like it's a lazy argument if you focus too much on character versus. Because I think also from the outside, we don't have good insight into the characters.
Okay. And it's to me, it's more lazy.
No, 100% not.
$1 million on character.
But like, think about yourself and think about your personal life. If you're more positive about what you're doing, and if you think positively, it's going to impact how you're doing things and how you treat things and how you want to be, right?
Like, just when you're feeling good, you do good. Like, yes. That's just it. Like, if I have a good day of sales, I kill my sales the rest of the day. If I have a bad day of sales, and this is my
100%,
it kills me for the rest of the day. Like, if I have a bad morning with like a couple like screw ups or like, you know, not closing to someone or whatever it is, like the rest of the day, like I'm just not there. But if I have a close in the morning, like I'm flying, I'm fucking confident, I'm like killing it.
Yeah, like, so not that.
That's the same thing with sports. Like, if you have a good, you know, they always say, if you have a good first shift, you're going to have a good rest of your game. If you have a bad first shift, you're not going to have that great of a game.
And sports is just a builder. Like, if you're constantly losing, you're going to be like, well, we're just losers. Like, fuck this. Like,
yeah, it's just
and everybody's talking about you losing. Like, everyone.
And the thing is, with to get back to Buffalo then, right, is that maybe – do they need to move a core piece to get some of that? Do they need to move a core piece for a core piece? Do they need to get, you know, Reinhardt out of there to bring another like really talented guy?
What's going to happen is bye bye Jack Eichel. Yeah.
But they can't rebuild. If they rebuild, that's another 5 years. You can't trade
They brought in players this year. They brought in Taylor Hall and they brought in Eric Staal.
Yeah, but they brought, you know what they also brought in? Freaking like, who's in their bottom six right now?
Cody Eakin
and all these guys. They didn't. If they brought in a bottom six that was talented and good, I think we'd be having a completely different conversation. Because the thing is with Buffalo, every single year they fail to fill. So we can talk about character. We can blame character. We can blame relationships in the room, whatever. But they've never actually put a good team out on the ice so that we could see, is it the players or is it the building of the team, right? Because we can talk about character and shit, but they've never put an actual team together that you've looked at and gone, that's a team that should be in the playoffs every year, right? So, they've never had that. They never fill out their bottom six. Their defense looks kind of, you know, it's bad. Goaltending, not so great, right? And they've never had a good team. If they've had a good team, we can say it's a character thing, right? If you're you know, Pittsburgh right now, for example, they've had good teams. You can say, is it a character thing or is it having a good team? And you know that, you know what it is essentially, right? You know they have character. You know they have Crosby. You know they have Malkin. You know maybe the team isn't the greatest right now, and that's what you can say. You can't say that about Buffalo because you've never seen the alternative. You've never seen, have they actually put together a solid bottom six? They get a couple of good guys in there, and they're always available too. It's easy to do. It's not difficult to go and get skill guys in the bottom six.
5 minutes.
I'll end off with this because we're done, Luke. Don't worry. I will say, I wanted to say that I think the reason why Buffalo has not been able to do it is firstly because, or for not been able to turn things around, is because when they tanked, they sold off everybody. And secondly, once they did that, their drafting has been poor, so poor that they can't fill out the rest of their roster because they've missed on so many picks.
They also have bad contracts. Like Jeff Skinner hasn't worked out.
But Jeff Skinner hasn't worked out. Why has Jeff Skinner not worked out? They put him in the worst position to succeed possible.
Fourth line. He has one.
But the problem is, and this is an emphasis on what the hell is wrong with Buffalo. His first year, they put him in the best position to succeed. And every year since, they've put him in the worst position to succeed. Right? His contract year, the year before they signed him, stapled him to Jack Eichel. Literally just stapled him. And now fourth line, third line. And it's been a combination of Jeff Skinner being unlucky. If you look at, you know, the numbers and his expected goals and all that kind of stuff, partly unlucky, partly just not as good, and partly just, you know, he doesn't have, you know, who's going to get Jack Eichel a goal? Is it going to be Cody Eakin as a center giving him the puck, or is it going to be, you know, Eric Staal or Jack Eichel tossing the puck, right? Okay. And Eichel and Hull haven't been great either, to be honest.
Yeah, they haven't. Well, Eichel has two goals.
They've been unlucky. Unlucky.
That brought up a good point, though, of selling off the rest of the team to tank, and that's what Ottawa's done. So it's going to be interesting.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I was kind of saying I wanted to bring that into other, like Detroit and Ottawa, who sold off everybody. I feel like Detroit didn't really sell off everybody.
Detroit has, you know, they've the Larkin, staple Mantha. Bad contract.
What I mean is that they had guys who like their core. They made the playoffs 25 years in a row, and then they lost. I mean, part of that was retirement, but they lost Zetterberg and Datsyuk and whoever else was their friends.
Yeah, but they didn't really sell off. You know what I mean? Like Detroit but never
selling off. Selling off everybody was the strategy. I'm not sure if it still should be or is. That's a different debate. But it was. Like Pittsburgh, look at what Pittsburgh did to get Sidney Crosby. They fucking sold
everything. Yeah.
Okay, but
and they got Sidney Crosby.
They got Crosby.
Yes.
But yeah. This is the problem with doing it that way is that now you're in your Buffalo and Eichel's had like 6 years of straight losing. He's never known what it is to be a winner. We're talking about character guys that come in and help push Matthews to be even more of a winner. Like Matthews is already a winner. Eichel's six years of depression.
All the top guys are winners when they entered the draft. They're used to winning. Matthews is used to winning. Eichel's used to winning. McDavid won like everything there was to win in junior almost.
Exactly. But that's the problem is that when winners. You sell them off and you do these tanks is that Eichel has only lost. Like, and if we're talking about character, that becomes part of his character is that he doesn't even enjoy the game anymore because he's such a loser, not in the sense of like a loser, but all he knows is losing, which can be very, very damaging to, I'd say, a team that's trying to win. Is like, yeah, Eichel will be that guy in 10 years who will be like a Joe Thornton who's maybe come close, but who's only ever lost, and all he'll want to do is win. And that's the damaging part of teams like Buffalo and the Senators is that
all they know is a losing culture.
Yeah, so Joe Thornton's even better, but like Buffalo and Ottawa.
Joe Thornton was never on a losing team. San Jose always was good.
Boston, you can't teach a winning mentality to a guy who's lost for 6 years. It just won't
work. Toronto got lucky, though, with like when they got to draft Matthews. They sucked for like six years and then drafted Matthews and sucked for an additional 2 years.
And then
they started to do well.
Well, they were good immediately, right? They made the playoffs the first year he went.
Because they drafted better than Buffalo has.
Well, they had sucked for 10 years before that.
They had a lot better pieces already
they
involved.
Had pieces, that's the other big thing. That's the other big thing. They had Patrick and Riley. All they needed basically was a goalie. They got Frederick Anderson.
They'd Phil Kessel.
That was their team, man. That was it. Yeah. Anyway.
A team like Ottawa is doing things differently than they
maybe did. In your head.
Right? Okay. Like they're trying to do like a complete
Buffalo.
180.
Nobody from that team is still from the playoffs, their playoff run. Yeah.
Exactly.
Everyone's gone.
Everyone's
literally
gone.
Everyone's gone.
They're other trying than, to do a complete so, culture exactly. shock.
Like, no one on Ottawa knows how to win.
But Ottawa, like, Buffalo sucked before they had Jack Eichel. Like,
but they didn't. They were an elite team before that, dude.
No. Buffalo, yeah, back in like the 2010s.
Because this was 2014 that they kicked. Up until 2013, they were still a good team with Ryan Miller.
Jason
Yes, they were. Up until about 2012, 2013.
Maybe kind of good, but they weren't like – they were like Detroit by so the
from,
end.
Let's
they
say like, from 2006.
Skimming by.
2006, 2012, they were a good team.
Exactly. So this wasn't – we're not talking about they dropped – they weren't a good team. They were a bad team maybe for two or three seasons before that, and then they tanked.
Yes.
Okay. They sold it off. But regardless, I think that's enough for tonight, and we'll end it
Which
there.
Which is exactly what Pittsburgh did too. Like Pittsburgh was good. They had Mario Lemieux, and then they dropped off and were shit for like a long time, and then they drafted Crosby. Like, it's
okay, Martin,
about,
I'm ending
like,
this. Everyone in the DMs, let us know what your thoughts are. Who's tanking the best? Who's tanking the worst? Is it Ottawa? Is it Buffalo? Are they tanking the same? Leave us a review, 5 stars. If you want to give us a 1 star or 2, that's okay. Just know that we'll roast you in on the stories. Every 1 star we get, Eric will screenshot it and just roast that person in the story.
But thank you for listening. So much.
And then, how about Martin? Tell him who we got next week.
Oh, buddy, we have an unreal interview next week. We have Mark Yates coming on, and he talks about some unreal advanced stats, and how teams look at it, how different sports look at it, and basically explains why Eric it has been correct in looking at advanced stats this entire time.
Wow, Martin just said I'm correct. Can we clip just that, and I'm going to save that?
No, I'm actually going to delete it from the episode. I'm actually going to delete it from the episode.
No, so, that needs to be. I need like my own clip of that to replay it for the next year. Every time I see Martin, Eric was correct.
It will become Eric's Staples Easy Button.
It will become his ringtone.
Eric was
phone.
Correct. Eric was
Dude, correct. That would be my ringtone. I would make that. No, every time Martin texts me, that's going to be the tone that pops up.
All right,
his tone.
Goodbye. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Or good morning, but good night.